If the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. Sometimes the way seems steep, but we're just human and we're so weak. Take it from me, when the road gets rough, He'll be there to pick you up.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye. For I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes. I stand upon what never changes.
I'm glad that our God is unchanging. Amen. He said, I am the God of Jacob, and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. You have your Bible open to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And I want to speak to you this morning about, well, the evolution of sin. How sin begins and what it leads to. And we live in a society that takes sin very lightly. But God doesn't take sin lightly. God takes sin very seriously. And because of that, you ought to take sin very seriously. And I ought to take sin very seriously. The Bible has a lot to say about sin. The Bible tells us where sin originated. The Bible tells us how sin will run its course, and how sin will have its final day. One day we'll live in a place where there'll be no more sin. No sorrow, no suffering. And as was already mentioned this morning, what a day that'll be. And brethren, that day is coming. Just as sure as you're sitting here today, that day is coming. There's coming a day where no heartaches will be. Amen? That's right. One day, all the redeemed, if you're saved, we're all going to be in heaven together. Now, there's going to be no sin in heaven. But while we're here on earth, we've got to deal with this thing called sin. We have a sin nature. And we have to deal with this thing called sin. I want to talk to you a little bit out of Genesis chapter 3 on a very familiar passage of Scripture. And so I'm probably going to do a lot of reminding today. Just put you in remembrance of some things. You may learn something. It's my intent to to preach the Word of God to you. If you learn something, that's a good thing. But if you're just put in remembrance of some things and God would take the message this morning and prod in your heart and teach you something that would help you or to remind you of something that would help you to live closer to Him throughout this coming week, the rest of this month and year in your life, well, then it'd be worth it all. The Bible says here, and I want you to know something, what it says in verse number 3. It says, now the serpent. Oftentimes you read on past that, you know, you say, well, you know, it's a serpent. But I want to stop right there just for a moment. The serpent. Now, some people, and there's a lot of people that deny the Bible, brethren. Now, we know here we don't deny the Bible. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And there's a lot of people that deny the Bible. But, brethren, I believe the Bible is God's final authority. And it ought to be your final authority and my final authority. Now, this serpent means, when you begin to search the root of this word, don't think that it means a slithering reptile. That's not what this word means. Now, I'm not really sure. The Bible doesn't say the form of the serpent. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about the serpent before the fall. I do know that after the curse, that the serpent was cursed to the ground on its belly. It gives me an idea that most probably that it was not that way prior to the curse. This word means shining one. I think that's very interesting because when you look at who the serpent is here, now I do not believe this is an allegory. I believe this is a factual event. I do believe the Bible has allegories. But this is a factual event that took place. And when I thought about this past week, I read a statement that really stuck out to me. And it said, you know, the old devil, and this is who the serpent is. The devil has used the serpent and he has come to a most unusual place. So I want to give you a little information about the serpent and then we'll get into the sin. All right? But the serpent, can I tell you something about the devil, the serpent? He shows up in the most unusual places. You know, some people think, well, you know, you go down to the local crack house or the local beer joint, the local dive, you know, the local street corner or the red light district. You'll find the serpent there. That's where you'll find Satan. Well, you probably will. But can I tell you, he'll also show up in places that you don't think you're going to see him and find him. Imagine the paradise of God, the Garden of Eden, Adam, the first man, and Eve, one who was taken from his side, were in this garden, and God had left them there with the responsibility to dress and keep the garden, and it was paradise, Adam and Eve in perfect harmony and fellowship with God and one another. And then the Bible doesn't explain how or when, it just says that the serpent showed up. Isn't that just like the devil? Shows up in the least likely places. Did you know that the serpent, the devil, shows up in your home and my home sometimes? That's right. Shows up on your job sometimes. See, the serpent shows up in religious places sometimes. He does. The devil. The devil goes to church. Someone said the devil goes to church more than some Baptist. The devil shows up in church. The devil shows up in classrooms. The devil shows up in our schools. It's obvious that he's in our universities. He's speaking through a lot of professors. He's even in our churches. He's even behind some pulpits. And don't get nervous. He's not behind this one this morning. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm a spirit-filled man of God, and I want to do God's will. And I refuse to allow the devil, by the grace of God, to get around this pulpit. Now, he wants to get charge of every pulpit in America and around the world because he has a message. And we're going to see this morning what his message is. See, God has a message too. And we are ambassadors for Christ. And we are with a clarion call. We're to carry that message around the world. But the devil has a message too. So when we read about this serpent, we find that, you know, the devil shows up in the most unusual places. But he also shows up in the most unusual forms, this devil. Here he comes, not as a red man with a goatee, with horns and a pitched fork. No, a serpent. Lucifer, son of the morning, the anointed cherub, full of beauty. You see, as we read this passage of Scripture, all indications show that he was very appealing and very attractive. For Eve gravitated rather than was repelled by him. And he lured her with his conversation, but I believe that he lured her with his form. And the Scripture says here, now the serpent was more subtle. Well, this will tell us something about that old devil, our enemy. He's subtle. He's crafty. When you really begin to study this word, you'll find that it means he's methodical. He's methodical. Now the Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says not only is he methodical, but it speaks of the wiles of the devil. He's strategic. I mean, our enemy, brethren, is someone that we need to take note of and we need to learn of. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. You want to win the war? You want to win the battle? Know your enemy. And so here he shows up in the most unusual place, in the most unusual form, with a methodical, strategic approach. And here he comes. You know, throughout the Bible, we read things about this serpent. We find that not only is he a serpent that deceives, but he's a lion that devours. And as a roaring lion, he's going to and fro upon this earth, seeking whom he may devour. Did you get that? Devour. That's his purpose. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. Think about that. There was another time in John chapter number 8 when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, those that were without Christ, and he said unto them, he said, you're of your father, the devil. And he said that he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, Jesus said the devil was a liar. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. This serpent, this devil, he's a murderer. See, that speaks of his motive. His motive is to kill. Didn't Jesus say that? John 8:44. He said it in John 10:10. To kill. Satan is an enemy who wants to bring death. Think about that. Death to youth. Death to peace. Death to happiness. Death to kindness. Physical death. Soulish death. Spiritual death, eternal death, the first death, the second death, death. He's the deliverer of death. Satan. Death. So here's Adam and Eve in the garden. God has spoken to Adam. He's given him his marching order, so to speak. He's given him a wife. He's left him there in the garden, and now here's the devil shows up in the most unlikely place. And then here comes the devil. What's the devil's methodical plan? I want you to notice the steps that the devil takes. Now I want you to listen very carefully to me this morning. The devil did not go to Eve and say, Eve, I want to ruin your life. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to twist the truth and lie to you. And I'm going to deceive you. And I'm going to, through my methodical craftiness, bring you in and offer you something that's not real. And if you'll take, not only will you ruin your life, but I'll use you to ruin your husband, and I'll use the two of you to ruin all of mankind. See, the devil knows if he tells the truth, he has nothing to offer. The devil has nothing to offer. Nothing. And so he has to lie. He has to deceive. Did you know that the devil was the first pervert? That's right. You know what the word pervert means? We live in an age of perverts. They're twisted. And what perverts do is they take that God gave through desire to be enjoyed, and they twist it and they pervert it. It's like food. God has given food to be enjoyed. But the devil makes food perverted, and people have become gluttons, enslaved to food. Imagine that. It's like sex. God gave that to be enjoyed to husband and wife. But the devil has taken that God gave to enjoy, and he has perverted it. And now look at what people have done. Look at where we are as a society. And we could go down with every desire that God gave man, and we could see how the devil has, listen, he has nothing to offer. And so what he does is he takes what God has given and he perverts it. He twists it. And he offers it to man as something better. And men fall for it. But it just doesn't begin where Satan comes up and says, hey, I have this perverted idea that'll ruin your life and it'll ruin your family and it'll ruin your future. And I'd like for you to partake of it. He begins with just casual conversation. I'm going to give you a few words here, and I want you to write them down, okay? Would you do that? The first word I want you to write down is dialogue. Would you write that word down? Watch the dialogue. Now, I want you to watch this very carefully. In your Bible, if you highlight or you can put parentheses, I want you to watch. Look, chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, and he said unto the woman, this is the serpent now. So here's the serpent speaking. And the serpent said unto the woman. And then in verse number 2, it says, the woman said unto the serpent. And then in verse number 4, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman. So you see what's happening here? There's dialogue. There's conversation. There's back and forth. Verse number 1, it says, the serpent, he said unto the woman. Verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent. Verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman. Back and forth they go in dialogue. This devil wants you to engage in. This is what the serpent, this is what the devil wants me to engage in. He wants to get us in dialogue. Sometimes he will do this by sending someone to your door and they're dressed real neatly and they say, we have some material to give you, and they want to engage you in dialogue. Send them away. Know the truth. Eve was not prepared. You say, well, preacher, I'm prepared. Well, the Bible says, bid them not Godspeed. Eve engaged in dialogue. You know what that dialogue led to? Look at the scripture. Here she is, and she's having just this conversation, and she's carrying on this conversation. But I see nowhere where she uses, well, you know what? God said. She uses what she thinks God said. Because what she said, God didn't say. And there's a big difference in what God says and what men thinks he said. See, if you want to defeat the devil, when the devil comes to you, just turn to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. It is written. Feed the devil a steady diet of the Word of God, and the Bible says he'll flee from you. The only way the devil's going to flee is for you to resist. Didn't say enter into dialogue. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What did Jesus do? He said, it is written. It is written. Matthew 4:11, and the devil leaveth him. Do you know what is written? Do you know what is written? If you don't, you could be in some trouble. We need to know what's in this book, brethren. We need to know what thus saith the Lord. What has God said? What saith the Scriptures? That's our defense. The sword of the Spirit, when you study the Christian armor, it's all defensive. There's one offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The devil came and he entered into dialogue. And then I want you to notice what dialogue led to. He came and it says that he said unto the woman said unto the serpent, verse number 4, so the serpent said unto the woman. But notice what after the dialogue led, and here's the second word I want you to write down, doubt. See, this is always the first step. The reason the devil wants to enter into dialogue is because he wants to cast doubt. Why? Because doubt paralyzes. You can't serve God with doubt. You won't serve God effectively doubting God's word. Can I tell you that it is appalling, it is sad how many preachers today, when you corner them and say, do you believe the Bible is the word of God? They cannot answer you yes. That's scary. We have people that are preaching behind pulpits in America and across the world that cannot say with authority and assurance, the Bible is the word of God. No wonder our country's in a mess. No wonder our churches are falling apart at the seams. There's no faith. There's no purity. There's no zeal. There's no burden. There's no passion. Why? Because many don't even believe the Bible is the word of God anymore. And so Satan comes along, he enters into dialogue. Hey, what's going on today, Eve? By the way, did God say? Look at the doubt that he cast here. Notice if you would in verse number 1. The serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? First question in all the Bible. Up at this time, all imperative statements. God says something, period. God says something, period. God says something, period. Then the devil says something, question mark. See, that's his goal. The devil wants you and I to doubt what God has said. That's his goal. Doubt. Hey, can I ask you this morning, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? I mean, really believe it. Do you really believe the Bible is the Word of God? I pray that you do. I feel for people who do not believe this book is the Word of God. Doubt. Doubt. Can I tell you something, brethren? Every man, every woman, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter who, doesn't matter what position they hold, doesn't matter if they're called reverend or doctor or professor or if they're a chemist or a geologist or a scientist, every person that doubts the Word of God is an emissary of the devil. They're doing the work of Satan. When they're trying to get you to doubt God's Word, you get away from them. They're up to no good. They're up to no good. These people that stand up and say, well, you know, it should say this. Get away from them. They'll do you no good. Well, what God meant to say, I'm going to tell you what God meant to say, what He said. Amen. Yea, hath God said. How do you know, Eve? Were you there when He said it? Or did you just hear God say that God said that? And so here comes the devil, and he's going to ask you, now, do you know God said, is that just what your preacher said God said? Is that just what your professor said God said? Hath God said? So here he comes and he enters into dialogue. He said to the woman said to him, he said back to her. And then from that dialogue, he begins to ask questions. And he begins to question God's word. Notice some things he questions about it. He questions the authorship. Did God say it? Right? Isn't that going on today? Oh, it's just a book that men wrote. As they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Yes, you're right. So don't forget that part. Amen. But we hear today, it's just a book that men wrote. It's just an old, outdated, antiquated book. It's God's Word.
And so the authorship of the Bible is being questioned. The accuracy of the Bible is being questioned. The authority of the Bible is being questioned. The acceptability of the Bible is being questioned. God's word is being questioned on every hand. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a man that didn't believe the Bible is the word of God. I don't want anyone preaching from this pulpit that doesn't believe that every word of God is pure. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, surely in 2017, we're not those that believe that every word of God is true. You're looking at a preacher that believes this book from cover to cover, brethren. I believe every word of this book. Every word of this book is God's word. I don't understand every word of this book, but I believe every word of this book. I believe it all. And when people come to you and when people come to me saying, well, you know, explain this, explain that, and try to cast doubt on the Word of God, there's some things I can't explain, but that doesn't mean I don't believe it. Listen, you may be able to explain electricity. I can't, but I respect it. I believe in it. You say, well, I don't. Well, good, after the service, we're going to get you to stick your hand in a couple of these sockets around here, amen? We're going to get you believing in electricity one way or the other. If we have to kill you doing it, amen? Oh, listen, the devil, the deceiver, he entered into dialogue and now he's going from dialogue, and the very first thing, the very purpose of him coming to Eve was to start out by casting doubt. Doubt. Then it goes from doubt to just flat out denial. Notice once he gets Eve and he says, you know, are you sure God said that? Hath God said? Now here's the next step. Listen, this is the evolution. Listen, this is the method. All right? When you look at that word in verse number 1, he's more subtle than any beast. This is the methodology of the devil. This is his method. He enters into dialogue. He's just your average Joe. Listen, don't think the devil's going to show up to you in some red suit. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. He has ministers of unrighteousness. Hear me now. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Peter chapter number 2 says that there's false prophets and false teachers. 1 John says there's Antichrist, brethren. They're here today. I didn't say the Antichrist. If I believe Jesus could come today, and I do, then I believe the Antichrist is alive today. But I'm not going to start naming him. I just believe he's alive. But there's many antichrists in the world today. They're for this old world system and they're against the way and the will of God. Dialogue led to doubt. And notice what doubt leads to. Notice if you would, after he said, yea, hath God said, and thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said in verse number 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, there's just so much wrong here. Okay? And I'm not going to go into the additions and subtractions and the things that Eve did. She was very careless and haphazard with God's word. Now, God help me and God help you not to be careless and haphazard with God's word. God's word, he honors above his own name. Now, listen to me. God's word means something. And we ought to reverence and respect the word of God. That's why I expect these young people to sit up straight during the preaching and teaching of the word of God. I expect people to put anything and everything away that would divert their attention away from the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. Amen. We ought to give our full, undivided attention. God's word's being preached. This is the word of God, not the word of a man. And so God spoke. And Eve said, this is what he said. And oh, the devil knew. Oh, my. Now he's going to go flat out denial on her. Watch this now. Don't miss this. And so the scripture says in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What are you saying? Well, we go from dialogue to doubt to denial. God didn't say that. And if he did, God's not going to do what he said he was going to do. And you're not going to die. Well, there's a message that the devil has. Did you get his message? Did you get the devil's message? God doesn't punish sin. That's the devil's message. Sin has an impunity with it. There's no consequences for sin. You will not die. God said that if you sin, you shall surely die. But I'm telling you, says the devil, the serpent, the crafty one, you will not die. He's still saying that today. God's not going to do what he said he'll do. God's too loving to do that. Can I tell you that the Bible over and over and over again says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen? The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, you can be sure your sin will find you out. If there was ever one person that lived and sinned and got away with it, I'd shut my Bible and go home and quit preaching. God says sin will be punished. But the devil says, no, it won't. You believe the Bible? They know something. There's consequences for sin. And know that when you or I or any other person says, oh, but I can sin and get by, that's of the devil. I said, that's of the devil. Listen to me. You cannot sin and get by. Oh, I know what the devil said. I know what the serpent told Eve. He's a liar and the father of it. And there are those today that say, well, and they live as though there's not going to be any consequences for my sin. There's always consequences for sin. There always has been and there always shall be consequences for sin. And so what started out as just a little dialogue has now blossomed into doubt, to flat out denial. No, God's not going to do. You're not going to die. You know, we live in a land where people do not believe God's word. Oh, they say they do. Listen to me now. They say they do. Our churches are filled with people that say they believe the word of God. But when you begin to talk with them, you find out real soon, no, they don't. They don't believe there's consequences for sin because they believe this message. They believe the message of their own God. There is a God that is the God of this world. Listen to me now. And he's got ministers of unrighteousness and he can be transformed into an angel of light. And he's got a message and the message is you can sin and get by. And when you sin, you will not die. God will not hold you accountable. That's a lie of hell. Listen to me now. Sin is ugly. Sin is dark. We have an infatuation with this thing called sin in our country. Why, if we were to get the Supreme Court to vote on it, listen, they would say that we think hell is too harsh a punishment for sin. We think hell is cruel and unusual punishment, and we vote it down. Can I tell you, it's not up to the Supreme Court. It's not up to the local courts. It's not even up to the professors and the preachers. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the devil said, oh no, no. God loves too much to do that. Can I tell you, God loves too much not to do that. And so he goes from dialogue to doubt to denial to delusion. Did you see it? Well, he's got her now. Once you believe that there's no consequences for your actions, by the way, that's the society we live in today. You do realize that. People believe there's no consequences for their actions. The teeth has been taken out of the law. You know what people look at law as now? Advice. Hear me now. A law without teeth is just advice. And people say, I'll take it or leave it. I'll do what I choose. By the way, it all started right here. Don't miss this. Because here's the message of the devil. Number one, to get doubt. And then to get denial. God will not do what he says he'll do. God will not keep his word because that's not God's word. There is no consequences for sin. This is the message of the devil. This is it. This is the evolution of sin. It starts out with its little dialogue, then it goes to doubt, then it gets to flat out denial. By the way, don't you live like there's no consequences for sin. As Christians, as believers, we need to know there's a great day of judgment coming. The Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. There is not only consequences for sin in this life, through the chastisement of God, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But there's also, there's consequences for sin in the life to come. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, brethren. Now, every one of us are. Every one of us are. We're going to give an account of our deeds, our service. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Look here what happened when he told this woman, "You shall not surely die." He denied it. Now, look at the delusion. Here's the message of the evil one. "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Isn't that something? What's the message of Satan there? Did you get it? Do you see what the devil's message is? This land is filled with people living by that message. Right there. What's the devil's message? You're your own God. You decide what's good and evil. Not that book. Listen to me now. Not what God says. No, 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 no. God knows, the devil said, that in the day that you come to your senses, that you broaden your horizon, then you'll be as God. It's what he's saying here. As God, you'll be as a God yourself. And you won't need God. Then you can decide. You won't have to have God telling you what's right and wrong. Then you can decide. Isn't that what he said? Look at it. Look at what he said. He said in verse number 5, "For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be gods, knowing good and evil." You won't need somebody to tell you that you can and can't do this, that this is right and this is wrong. You'll know. You won't need God's word. You won't need God. You can decide. Isn't that the society we live in today? Situation ethics, right? When is it wrong? When I decide it's wrong. When is it okay? When I decide it's okay. Not what God said. Even while I'm preaching this message, there are devils trying to get into people's mind and say, "That's just what that preacher believes." You dismiss that thought. Listen to me this morning. There is devils that are trying to get into the minds of people and trying to get us to doubt God's word, even while it's being preached. Well, that's just what the preacher believes. You better believe the preacher believes it, because God said it. And that's why you need to believe it, because God said it, not because the preacher believes it, but because God said it. You with me? You see what's going on here? This is sin. This is why people are in bondage. This is why people have no freedom. They have no liberty. They have no joy in their life. They walk around and say, "You know, I tried that church thing and it didn't work for me." You know why? You didn't do it right. You're not following instructions. You think that someone gets saved and then they can just do what they want and live as they will? Listen, that is not God's way. Life comes with instructions, and it's called the Word of God. And here, the devil, this is his method every time. Does the Bible say that we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices? This is the way he does it right here. He enters in with dialogue, and then there's doubt. Did God say that? Does God mean that? Just what is God saying? Oh, God's too loving to punish sin. Why? He just knows that if you get out and do what you want to do, then you'll be as God and you won't need him anymore, and you can decide what's right and wrong. You'll be as God and will know good and evil. That's the day we live in, brethren. That's the day we live in. Delusion, where people think what they say is final authority. Can I tell you, final authority is what God says. It is. And one day, now listen to me, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that the God of this Bible,
that his son Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we see how Satan gets people and takes them away to where it starts with dialogue and then doubt and then denial, which leads to delusion, where people really believe, you know what, if I say it's wrong, it's wrong. If I say it's right, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know what, it just feels right. Right? I don't feel convicted. These kind of terms, brethren, have come about in the last 10, 15, 20 years, and they're of the devil. You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now listen to me. Let me give a couple more and I'll be through today. This is what sin, this is how sin gets into people's lives. This is how sin ruins people's life. See, the devil didn't come to Eve and tell her, hey, Eve, I'm going to ruin and wreck your life. I'm going to fix it to where your firstborn will kill your secondborn. I'm going to ruin your family. I'm going to ruin your life. The devil never does that. I'm going to make your home life a hell on earth. The devil never says that. I'm going to make you curse today that you accepted what I said. Never. Always these empty promises. The Bible says that not only did dialogue lead to doubt, and doubt to denial, and denial to delusion, but then there's desire. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. It says that after this series of things took place in this conversation, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired. You know, there's desire in every one of us. But as I've already mentioned, that what the devil does is he takes what God has given and he perverts that desire. And he tries to get us to go outside the realm of the straight, plain teachings of the Word of God and do that which is forbidden. And that's exactly what Eve did. See, the desire that Eve had was against the commandment that God had given. Watch it now. Don't miss it. It says that she saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took. But God said, I want it, I'm taking it. But now, God said, it's what I want to do, just leave me alone, preacher. But now there's cotton up. My mind's made up, I'm going to do it. And what one of us hasn't been there in our lives? It's of the devil. Sin has its consequences. It has its appealings too, doesn't it? She saw. I like what one man said. He said that when she saw that it was, if you look good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. That involves doing. The lust of the eyes involves having, and the pride of life involves being. And that's what men live their life. It's amazing how people get caught up in those things. The lust of the flesh, which is doing. The lust of the eyes, which is having. And the pride of life, which is being. I want to be something. And there was Eve. Got caught up in that desire. And the Bible says that she went from desire to decision. In verse number 6, she took. And what did it say she did? She did eat. That was her decision. Oh, don't worry, I'm throwing this thing away after the service today. We won't deal with this no more. She took, look at it again, and she did eat. Well, the devil made her do it. You think the devil made her do it? The devil's never made anyone do anything. See, it all led up. Don't miss it now. A little dialogue, then denial, then or doubt, then denial. Then there was delusion, now there's desire, a decision. She made that decision. Eve did. The devil didn't make it far. People choose to sin. You understand that. People choose to do wrong.
I asked our Sunday school class this morning the question I've asked the church on numerous occasions: how many of you sinned yesterday? And everyone raised their hand. And then I asked the question, why did you sin? Because I chose to. She had a decision to make, and she made a decision. She took. The devil didn't hold her down and cram the fruit down her mouth. She took. She made a conscientious decision, and she was held personally responsible. And she did eat. And you know what happened that day? She died. You say, oh, but preacher, she didn't. Oh, yes, she did. She died and began dying. She died spiritually and began dying physically. Because God always keeps His word. And then finally, we see where that decision led to death. Because just as soon as you don't see it here, but I can assure you that just as soon as she did eat, she began dying. You know what she did? After she began dying, she said, hey, come and go with me. She turned in verse number 6 and gave also unto her husband. And he did eat. As I close the message this morning, I want you to think about that last statement there. You're going to take somebody with you when you leave this earth. Now listen to me carefully. So, well, you know, preacher, they can't go to heaven on mama's apron strings. No, they can't, but I'm going to tell you something now. When you leave this life, you're going to take some people with you. Where are you going to take them? Did you know that I just don't believe there's very many people go to heaven by themselves. And I don't believe there's very many people go to hell by themselves. Now, I believe every man is responsible and accountable for himself. But just as Eve turned and got her husband to partake, and they went that way together, I believe that's the way it is in life. I'm going to heaven. I'm taking some people with me by the grace of God. What about you? I'm not going to live my life and not try to take some people to heaven with me. By the grace of God, I'm going to take some people to heaven with me. I can't get them there, but I can sure point them to one who can. The same person that's taking me to heaven, I want to tell them about so they can trust Him and He can take them to heaven with me. But did you know that just as we don't go to heaven alone, if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, you're not going to go to hell alone. You have an influence and an impact on people's lives, and I guarantee you, you're not going to go to hell alone. It'd be bad enough that you're going to hell, but don't you take someone with you. There are young people, there are children, there are relatives, there are friends, there are co-workers that are watching your life. And if your life is if it's fake, if it's phony, they're going to see that, and they're going to be like those Pharisees that are not going to enter the kingdom of God, but they're going to block the way. Don't you block the way that others cannot get to the kingdom of God. So what happens, preacher? Well, we didn't look at it, but I'm glad that when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God, but I'm glad God didn't leave them there, aren't you? He went after them. Why? Because they were lost. God wasn't lost. People say, I found God. No, He found you. Amen. And Adam came in the garden in the cool of the day, or God did, and he said, Adam, where art thou? I'm glad God goes after old sinners. God's coming after you today if you're lost. He is. Have you believed the lie of the devil? Have you? That God's word doesn't matter, that you make the decisions, that you're in control. No, God's in control. And this book is final authority. Let's stand to our feet. The evolution of sin. Don't be one of these kind of people, please, please now, that think that you can live the way you want without consequences. That you can live in defiance to God's word. That you can live in disobedience to God's word and not have to answer for it. No, you can't. You can't do it. I said it before, I'm going to say it one more time before we bow our heads and pray. If there's ever one person, ever just one, anybody, anywhere, that sins and gets by. I'm quitting. But I'm not going to have to quit. Because God's word is steadfast and sure. And you can be sure that your sin will find you out. No sin goes unpunished. Somebody's got to bear the punishment. Now Jesus has taken the punishment. He has bore in His body our sin on the tree. Why don't you, if you've never trusted Jesus, why not this morning trust Him? Come to Him and accept His payment for the penalty of your sin and trust Him as your personal Savior. I pray that you would do that today. It's very important. It's very important. Your eternity rests on that truth. Let's bow our heads together.